Have a good Christmas. Have a good Christmas. Anybody? All right, good, good. You know, this time next week, it will be 2014. Isn't that crazy? That's kind of weird. Oh, what's up with that? Speaking of which, next week, just want to make mention of this, will be the very first Sunday that we will be having together. If you don't know what First Sunday is, it means you missed us talking about it or whatever, and that's okay. We're glad to explain it. I can't really explain it all right now, but I will say just enough to kind of wet your whistle a little bit. We're going to be doing some stuff the very first Sunday of every month that is different than normal services, okay? We're taking the sacred cow of Sunday morning services, and we're playing with it a little bit. And it's something that we feel like God has led us to do. If God has really called us to love God, love people, live gospel, make disciples, that we're going to take those things and we're gonna follow through with those things and doing some things just a little bit differently, be a little more personal on a personal level. It won't be kids stuff next weekend, but bring your kids. We want your kids to be in here. We're going to do this as families together. It should be awesome. Just be ready to love God next week. That's what I'll say. And I will encourage you to do this. Maybe pray with your family before you come even that morning, just that your hearts would be ready to spend time with God. And it'll be good. It's going to be awesome. So we're very excited about that. Come 3 months from now, I think our minds are going to be blown with what all this may look like, and that's exciting. I don't know. I think I've said this before, but I don't know anybody else that's really doing what we're looking at doing, and it's just a God leading thing. But there's so many times in ministry when you know, I haven't had a clue of what's really going on that I could pick up a phone and call somebody and be like, "Hey, how's that little thing going over there that you guys have been doing?" And to be honest with you, I got nobody to call on this one. It's like, you know, I'm out of luck. You know, it just is what it is. It's exciting. It's exciting to embark on something new, and I think that it's going to lead us into embarking on other new things in the year of 2014, which is pretty awesome for the kingdom of God. So that's going on next week. Also, later in the month of January, I think the 25th, something like that, we have the Second Harvest food truck, just giving you that date so that you can get it on a calendar if you're the calendaring type, because that's going to be here, and it's our month for 24 to be over that, and so it bounces around a lot these days. This is our month, and so we want to come strong and serve and love on people and that kind of thing. So we'll be giving away free food. If you don't know anything about that, it's something that we do monthly these days, but it's passed around, the baton is kind of passed around with some other churches now. As who's in charge of it, what month, this will be our month, and it will be here. So just put that on your calendar. All right, if you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't, we got ushers, and they've got Bibles, so you are in luck. Let one of them bring you a Bible, just throw your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care, and they will bring you one, and you can borrow it, and if you don't own one, it is a gift, and you can keep it. Let God speak to you through it. It is His Word. It's good stuff. And we're going to be going to a passage in 1 Peter today, if you want to go ahead and turn that way. We'll bounce around to a couple other passages, no surprise there. Do want to welcome, we do have several people visiting with us today. We got Lolo, we got the Whitfields. It's cool. It's like we're getting the band back together, almost literally, right? And then we've got other friends here in from out of town. Some of you have family in from out of town. Glad to have you guys here. I want to make mention of this. We've got a family. It's the Brinsons. Todd, why don't you kind of wave at everybody from over there? The Brinsons were with us weekly, and it's one of our military families. They were with us back when we were in the schools, and they had never been here because the military did what the military does best and move people around, you know, and so they moved them and moved them overseas. Where'd you guys go first? Portugal, that's right, and then you went somewhere else, right? Okay, you went from Portugal to D.C., and in Portugal, years ago, you may remember us talking about this, but in Portugal, Todd and his family used to gather people in their living room and listen to the podcast from 24 on Sunday mornings to have kind of a church service kind of a thing. And now they're back in the States, but they're in D.C. and they're a part of a church plant there because they are a glutton for punishment and they just can't get enough. And they've gone from being in a house to being in a school now, and so they're right in the midst of all that. So we are so glad to have you guys here today. It's so awesome to have y'all here. This is the first time they've ever been since we've been in the building, which definitely dates how long it's been since you guys have been with us, but we're glad to have you. And anybody else that's visiting with us today, thank you so much for being here. It means a lot that you would choose to join us on a Sunday morning. We've been talking through God sending Jesus, and the whole, you know, this is kind of like our Advent deal, but it's really kind of turned into more than that. It's not really just an Advent deal. Our understanding of God sending Jesus helps us to understand how we too are supposed to go. And that's kind of what we've been honing in on with this series and kind of talking through different things. We've talked about how Jesus was obedient and Jesus is humble and Jesus is all these different things. And with each one of these things, one of the things that we're learning is we're learning more about who Christ is and his purpose in coming, purposes in coming. But in the process, what also happens is that we also learn more about who we are called to be. And so today being no different, we're studying again on one of the things that Jesus came to do, that God sent Jesus to do. And in the process of that, this is all part of the gospel, by the way. And in the process of that, we have this understanding of the gospel. And the gospel is this. The gospel is good news. Okay? Let me go ahead and say this before I get too far away, because I don't want to not say it, because I always try to give credit where credit is due. I've been reading through off and on. Sometimes I'll pick up this little book. It's a Piper book. 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. We gave these things away at Easter one year, a few years ago. They put them on sale for like $1 a piece or something. And so we bought enough to just give everybody one. Some of you probably got one of these at home. You probably never cracked a cover on it. You're missing out. All it is just a little devotional type deal. Like 2 pages each thing. And I was reading through, and I was reading one in particular in here that honestly it just spoke to me so much. I was like, I got to preach that. I got to talk about that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not, and nothing against guys that do this. I'm not the guy that like can preach somebody else's message. I'm terrible at that. I tried to do it years ago, like 8 years ago was I think the last time I technically really tried to preach somebody else's message. And in doing so, I mean, it was just a train wreck, you know. It wasn't my thing. And so now if I hear something that really speaks to me, I may take a piece of it or, you know, whatever. But I end up just, you know, reconstructing the whole thing before it's over with. But this particular deal here today, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I mean, I feel like just kind of straight up ripping it to some degree. So really, you're just getting a devotion out of me today. And so maybe you can feel better about that in your head by going, well, maybe we'll get to go to lunch earlier today than at least we did last week, which is probably true because I went very long last week. This little deal today, it just spoke to me, and it spoke to me as far as like the series goes that we've been going through. And in particular today, the idea that the gospel is good news, okay, news, you know, the news, like 10 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, we have the news. The gospel is good news, and we like good news, right? You know, we like let's face it, like the 10 o'clock news, I mean, we've got all the stuff like, well, this guy got shot and this person did this and, you know, this guy robbed a bank with his pickup truck and, you know, a chain and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's all this crazy stuff. And then we're like looking for like the one little like heartfelt moment deal of like, and then we have this family over here in Nolensville and they found some bunnies, you know, and so everybody's like, oh, you know. And so, I mean, like we're looking for good news. Like we love good news, you know, like let's just throw some bunnies in there so we have like a little bit of good news, you know. And the truth is that the gospel is good news, and the good news is it always leads back to God, okay? It always leads back to Him. It leads back to Himself. The good news that He has to share with us is really about Him. And everything that is the gospel leads back to Him. So with that understanding, you know, one of the things that we have is we have this understanding of, you know, all the pieces that we know of our doctrine, of our theology about God and who God is and what we believe should technically all lead back to Him. But let me kind of play with a couple of them. Piper kind of does this, and I'm just kind of taking it, and it's morphed just a little bit, but it's pretty much the same thing. And just I want you to think about it like this. You've heard me use the terminology probably before about, you know, a lot of people, you know, come to church, become a Christian because they want fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell. You know, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm choosing Jesus over hell. Well, that sounds good, you know. And truthfully, you know, it is good. But there's more to it than that. And in fact, let me put it to it like this. If salvation only saves from hell and not bringing us to God, it's not the gospel. Okay? If salvation only saves us from hell, but it doesn't bring us to God, then that's not the gospel. You see, the whole like fire insurance thing, like if it's fire insurance by itself and doesn't bring us to God, well, that's not ending with God. So it's not the gospel. Furthermore, forgiveness. Everybody loves forgiveness. You know how forgiveness goes, right? Like somebody, like you got something going on between you and somebody else, and like you're finally like going to ante up and go talk to them and see, you know, if we can like work this out, and, you know, I need you to forgive me. I sinned against you or whatever. And it's all awkward and weird and you're sweating and everything, and they may punch you in the face. You don't know. But at the end of it all, if they say, hey, dude, we're cool. It's all good. Everything's fine. I forgive you. What's the best part about that? It's like the relief, right? I mean, like we love the relief. We're like, man, I'm so glad to get that off my chest. I'm ready to move on with my life now. I've been carrying that around for a long time, blah, 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 blah. And the truth is we treat God the same way a little bit with forgiveness sometimes. And it says this, says if forgiveness only relieves us of guilt and doesn't open the way to God, it's not the gospel. If forgiveness only relieves us of guilt and doesn't open the way to God, it's not the gospel. So again, a lot of people, you know, they've gone to church, they've become Christians, they've gotten baptized, they prayed a prayer, they believed in Jesus because they didn't want to die and go to hell. They wanted relief from their sin. You see where this is going. It's really kind of like me-centered, you know. But those things aren't the gospel because they're not ending with God. They're not bringing us back to Him. Forgiveness opens the way to God. You know, you think about that for just a second. I mean, our sin is what separates us from God. Scripture teaches us that we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so there had to be something done on our behalf. And Jesus, being the righteous, did for us, the unrighteous, what we couldn't do. And through His death and trusting in Him and believing in Him to be our Savior and our Lord, He provides forgiveness. But He doesn't just provide forgiveness so that we feel better about ourselves. And I think that a lot of times that's the way we approach our walk with the Lord, is that we want to feel better about ourselves, right? The truth is that in forgiveness through the blood of Christ is opened the pathway to God Himself. Next thing, if justification only makes us legally acceptable and doesn't bring fellowship with God, it's not the gospel. If justification only makes us legally acceptable, because God is a just God and we know that there is a penalty for sin, and the penalty for sin was death, and Jesus took that penalty for us on our behalf, and so He's made us legally acceptable through His righteousness. Remember we talked about this several weeks ago. You know, Jesus has His righteousness like a coat, and He takes His coat and He puts it on us, the unrighteous, and lets us wear it so that when God sees, He sees the righteousness of Christ on us. It's not ours because we didn't earn it. I mean, Jesus has given it to us, but technically it's still His because there's no way we could have come up with it on our own. And if justification only makes us legally acceptable in the eyes of the judge, being God the Father, and doesn't bring fellowship with God, it's not the gospel because it's not leading back to God. If redemption only liberates us from bondage, if redemption only liberates us from bondage, if redemption only frees us from sin and doesn't bring us to God, it's not the gospel. I mean, we all want redemption, right? Everybody wants redemption. I don't care who you are. Everybody wants to be made free, you know. Nobody wants to be in bondage. Nobody wants to be imprisoned. Nobody wants to be under the control of something, especially sin. Well, Jesus is, it's through Christ that we're offered the redemption from sin, that no longer do we have to live under bondage. No longer does it control us. But if it's only about us not being in bondage and it doesn't lead back to God, it's not the gospel. And the last one, and I love this one, and this one has just gotten all over me all week long, and I just keep thinking about it, and I keep thinking about it. If adoption only puts us in the Father's family, but not in His arms, it's not the gospel. If adoption only puts us in the Father's family, but not in His arms, it's not the gospel. Let me ask you a question. We have a lot of families that have adopted and are currently praying over that, doing that, and God leading them to do that and that kind of thing. You know, if you're praying over adopting a child, you're not doing so because, you know, you're just trying to fill all the beds in your house or something. I mean, that's something that God leads you to do. When God adopted us, He didn't just adopt us to invite us into the house and give us a bedroom. He adopted us to have a relationship with us. And you see the difference there is that if adoption only puts us in the Father's family but not in His arms, that's not the gospel, because it doesn't end with Him. That's not God's heart. It wouldn't be our heart if we went and adopted a kid today. If I said, well, you know, I know you've got the kids you've got now or whatever, and you love them and you give them hugs and all this kind of stuff, but you're going to adopt this new kid, you know, and you told me, well, you know, we're going to adopt them. We're going to bring them in the house, but I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to give them hugs and stuff because I don't want my other kids to get jealous. Well, you wouldn't do that in a million years. Because you're going to love that kid just the same. God's adoption of us leads back to Him. So, all these things, you know, it's real easy to beat up on yourself and go, man, maybe I've been approaching my faith wrong. Maybe you have. It's okay. If you realize that, it's okay to realize it. I think to even realize that, you know, if you didn't want those things, I mean, I don't want to go to hell. I want redemption. I want to be adopted. I want all those things too. But at the end of the day, for us to understand that God has done these things to lead us back to Himself is a huge piece of our understanding of the gospel. In fact, 1 Peter 3:18. Just reading this one verse here. And it says this, it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins. He'd been talking about, by the way, he'd been talking about the suffering that they've been going through right before this. And he says, for Christ also suffered once for sins. By the way, I love how he puts this, it once for sins. I mean, I think about like Christ suffering once for sins. What was His once for sins? He lived the perfect life to make Him the perfect sacrifice that in turn we would not only put Him on a cross, but we would beat Him halfway to death, actually all the way to probably literally about to die, and then we killed Him on the cross. So His once here, Christ also suffered once for sins, is all of that rolled into one, once for sins. And then it goes on, the righteous for the unrighteous, Jesus for us, the sinners, that He might bring us to God. We read it again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. This is huge, right? This is huge. When you think about, basically, Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made, that God made of His only Son, that He sent His only Son to die, okay? That this sacrifice was made. Why? I mean, if we go by this verse alone, that he did this, the righteous for the unrighteous. In other words, what he's saying is the old bait and switch of like, you know, we do it, but we can't, right? We couldn't do this for ourselves. And we needed Jesus to do it. That's the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So the whole purpose in doing this was to bring us back to himself. You go, well, Chris, that sounds crazy. I don't even understand. Why does he do that? Why has he got to bring us back to himself? Because he knows stuff that we don't know. He understands more about us than we understand. He's our creator. He's our creator, and he designed us. He created us to be worshipers. He created us to enjoy, get this, are you ready? His glory. Think about it like this. Think about the moments of your life that you can look back on and go, in that moment, and in that moment, in that moment, whatever it was. Or maybe you got like one. In that moment, I look back and I realize how in awe of who God really is. In that moment, I will never forget the joy that consumed me, consumed my heart, because I recognized how unbelievable and how good God really is. God created us for that purpose. He created us worshiping. We're a worshiping people. We are a response people. You know, we respond to stuff, you know. And we love to respond. I mean, let's just face it. We love to respond. We love to, you know, can I get your opinion about something? Anybody hate to hear that question? Let me get your opinion about something. Oh, no, no. I would rather not give my opinion about anything. Who has ever said that? Anybody? We love to give our opinion about stuff. We love it. I mean, even when we may fight it back, you know, in down deep inside, our sinful nature is like, oh yeah, I'll tell you exactly what I think about that. I love, we went a couple weeks ago, took a bunch of folks from here that do construction work a lot, went down to a little church, a new church start in Madison, to help them and kind of look at maybe helping do some things to their building and stuff. Just serve them. Just want to just serve, you know. And, you know, I was, you know, it's so funny. It's like I could tell, like, all of these guys were, like, fighting back the urge to, like, just, like, tell it how it was. Like, you know, because I'd go in there. I mean, I'm an idiot. I'd go in and I'm like, hey, well, what do we got to do to, like, put drains in the floor and put the stuff on the wall and hang the thing from the ceiling or whatever, you know? And, you know, like, I could tell, like, because there's so many of them, they're trying to be humble. They're trying to be Christ-like, you know, and they're like, you know, and I'm like, come on, somebody. And then finally, they were, well, I mean, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that. It didn't take any time whatsoever for them to tell us exactly what needed to be done, how it needed to be done. Well, I got the tools to get it done, you know. I mean, like, some of them start bragging with the tools, right? You know, I mean, they're like, oh, I got that. I got the jackhammer. Don't you worry about that. You need that? No problem. We got a crane? Oh, yeah, well, I got a crane. I got a crane in my backyard, you know. We really didn't need a crane, but, you know. You know, I think for us to recognize God made us a people that respond, and we're that way because he made us that way. And the truth is that he made us that way, that we would respond to him and that we would find joy in him. You know, we find joy in him. Jesus did this. God did this, sent his son to bring us back to God. This is redemption. It's not just, I'm going to save you, I'm going to make you better, and then I'm going to go on. No. God realizes something that we don't realize on usually our best days, which is that he is the best thing for us. We sing the song here, Jesus is better, you know, been singing that song. Jesus is better. And we're even singing in the song, make my heart believe it. Make my heart believe. And the whole point of that is because we struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with that because, you know, we think we're pretty good sometimes. And the truth is that Jesus is better. And God understands that he is the best thing for us. It is in him. Get it? Check it out. It is in him that we find true joy. It is in him that we will find the joy that we need to live this life. That's good news. I'll tell you what's not good news, and you may disagree. Well, not always not good news, but I watching a show, this is a while back, a couple years ago maybe. I remember watching this show, and it was on people that win the lottery, you know. And you would think, like, if one of you came and told me, I mean, I'd be excited for you. If one of you came and said, hey, I won the lottery, I'd be like, awesome. That's fantastic. Let's go car shopping, you know? But no, I mean, you know, we think about it. It sounds awesome. Sounds fantastic. Like, oh, to win the lottery, oh, man, it's like millions and millions of dollars. I've heard people talking about it lately, you know. And then, like, apparently, like, I guess somebody won it the other day. And then, like, within the same, like, thing. And then they said, you know, and then later on in the day, someone else bought the same ticket and also won. And so I'm thinking, like, man, if you're that person that won, like, the earlier in the day kind of deal, and you're going in and you're like, man, yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to win, like, a gajillion dollars. And then, you know, later in the day, you find out, oh, somebody else also got the same ticket, so now I have to split it? And I'm thinking, I mean, you know how we are. I mean, we're human bunch of stinking sinners. And every one of us would probably be the same way and be like, are you for real? I got to split it now? Because I already had the first $400 million spent on, you know, my mom-in-law just to, like, get her out of my hair or something, you know? But the show is really about kind of like years later, the aftermath. Like, here are people that won the lottery, and here's where they are now, kind of behind the music of the lottery winners. Okay, only they didn't sing songs, not good ones anyway. And for the most part, the majority. In fact, there was a statistic thrown around somewhere in this, and don't ask me where it came from, but it said that 70% of people that win the lottery go flat broke. And you can chalk that up to all kinds of things. I mean, you could chalk it up to, you know, just not knowing how to handle money to begin with, or you know, just even greed in of itself, or whatever it is. I mean, there's so many pieces to that puzzle that you could chalk it up to. But at the end of the day, I mean, for us, we hear that, we just like, man, I don't even understand. How could that even be possible? You know, that they could get to that point. And the truth is that we're sinful people. We're sinful people, and the truth is that good news can be good news, but at the end of the day, that good news doesn't end with God, so it's not the gospel. I mean, you may have good news, like, I got a job this week. Well, that's good. Does it end with God? Because if not, it's not the gospel. It's not saying that God can't redeem it and use it for his kingdom, and that he hasn't called us to do that. He absolutely has called us to do that. And that's part of the reason why we give, why we bring offerings even, is that our hearts will stay in check. I mean, I could easily see, honestly, just on a biblical level, I could easily see why a lot of people that win the lottery go broke. I mean, Scripture teaches us that the more that you have in many situations, the more that you have, the greedier that we get. And that's one of the reasons why God doesn't just say, you know, hey, if you're in this price bracket, give. He just says, be faithful and bring an offering, give a tithe, whatever it is. He says, be faithful. And what he's trying to do is trying to help us check our hearts that those things don't become idols to us. Because he knows if they're idols for us when we're poor, they're going to be huge idols for us when we've actually got a lot. That's whole, you know, camel through the eye of the needle stuff, you know. And the truth is, it's not just money, it's everything in our life. It's our worship, because that's what even giving is. It's an act of worship. And so for us just to realize that and see that's such a huge deal. Ephesians 2 says this, Ephesians 2:13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. If you skip down to verse 16, it says this, and might reconcile us both. And he's talking, by the way, to Gentiles. And he's saying, basically, you as Gentiles and us as Jews, like, God's going to bring us all together. And that's where he's kind of heading us off the past, verse 16. And might reconcile us both being Jews and Gentiles. Basically, you know, there's no racial divide is what he's saying. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. You see, the whole plan, the whole get up of the whole thing is that God wants to bring us back to him as one. And that's the body, that's the church. And that's why it's so important for us to fight for the church. And you know what I mean by the church. If you've been going here for any length of time whatsoever, you know that I'm not talking about the walls of the warehouse, okay? It is that we would fight for one another, that we would be here for one another, that we would be the church, not go to it. And that's so important for us. You who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus was sent fishing for us. How appropriate. How appropriate, you know? I think for us this morning to see what God is doing and see and recognize there's this whole plan that God has. And the plan involves us being brought back to him through all of this sacrifice, through bloodshed, through all of these things. And at the end of it all, it always ends with him. And I think it's real easy for us to kind of go, well, you know, it's kind of egotistical of God or whatever. I don't think so. I think that we have that wrong if we think that. And here's why. God is not an egomaniac, first of all, because he's not a sinner. But secondly, to help us, I think, to even more understand that is that he recognizes he is the best thing for us. Does that make sense? When God says flee from sin, he's not playing some na-na-na-boo-boo game, like God game, oh, I'm going to play God with you, and you're going to, you know, and ha-ha-ha, and you're going to have to, that's not him, you know? When he's telling us flee from sin, he's saying, I love you, I don't want you to get hurt. And the truth about sin is this: sin destroys. It absolutely destroys. I've looked back, I was just thinking the other day, on just a couple of different situations and how I've seen sin destroy the lives of people. And you've seen it too. I mean, absolutely just mow things down in their lives that they thought would never be possible. Ruin relationships between people. And here's the thing is that Satan loves for us to believe that, you know, well, I got my little pet sin over here, and it's not going to be one that even if it, you know, comes out of the closet and somebody finds its skeleton one day, that's going to ruin all this stuff. No, the truth is that it's ruining things right now. It's destroying things right now in your life. That's what sin does. The truth is we're not slaves to sin anymore. Through redemption in Christ, we have freedom from sin. It doesn't have control over us unless we let it have control over us. If you are in sin right now, if you've got sin, and let's face it, we're all a bunch of sinners. So all right now, everybody's like, oh my gosh, he is talking to me. You know, chill out. We're all sinners, okay? And we're all feeling that right now. But here's the truth of it. We're free from it. But the truth is that as long as we keep it as a pet, and we keep putting it back in the closet, and we keep getting it out when we want to, it continues to destroy. We don't think that it does. We think, I'm doing good. I have got this thing masked. Nobody knows. They don't have to know for it to destroy. You are not the person. I am not the person. We are not the people that God has created us to be. When we give in to sin, we are allowing destruction in our lives, and that's changing us, which means that the people around us aren't getting the person that God intended for them to have in their life. So those little sins that we, you know, we think we got that under control, and I'm just going to keep, you know, going with it. Got this taken care of. I'm just telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And Satan wants you to believe it. He wants you to buy into it. And he wants you to keep that little pet in the closet. because he loves to destroy. Jesus came to save and bring us back to God because he is the very best thing for us. I want you to read Psalm 16 with me. It's pretty short. And I'll be honest with you, if you're in a place right now in your life where you're struggling, or if you're ever in a place in your life where you're struggling, and you will be if you're not right now, so let's face it, we all have those days. If you're looking for a place to go and to be encouraged by God's word, go read the Psalms. And I've done this year. It's been so good for me at times. I cannot tell you how good it's been for me at times. Psalm 16 is no different in that. And it reminds us of some things. It says this, let's read it, verse 1. We're going to read right through it. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." He recognizes how desperately he needs God. "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places indeed. I have a beautiful inheritance." He realizes there's a blessing to come there. And in verse 7, "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." You hear that? His anchor to this life is in God. Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. We'll stop it right there. How many of you would like to just be able to say, "I wish I could honestly say that's true of my life right now"? "Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure." If I told you to meet me after the service today, that I have security to offer for everybody that wants to come in, and I'm going to sell it because, you know, I like making a little money here and there. And I'm going to offer to anybody that wants to buy security, I'm going to give you all the security for the rest of your days, $100 a head. $100 a head. That's an amazing deal. And you're thinking, man, $100 is nothing for that. I'm buying in on that, and I'm going to buy one for everybody in my family. I'm going to buy everybody some security. Give me 5. Give me 6. Give me whatever. We got some big families here, okay? The truth is that the writer of the Psalms, David or who may be, he recognized that his security came in Christ, came in the Lord. And before I get too far ahead of myself, even in how I said that, this is written before Jesus ever came. And you take that for just a second, and you recognize that God, even back before he sent his son, was telling his people, "Hey, trust in me. I am where your joy is made complete. I am where you can find security," which is probably like the biggest sin of all for so many of us, is that, especially as Americans, we want security. We want to know that we are safe and that everything is taken care of, and we'll do everything that we can to try to make that happen. "Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure." Verse 10, it goes on. "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol," that'd be hell, "or let your Holy One see corruption, that we'd be made righteous, right? In verse 11, it's the last verse, and it's a kicker. Here we go. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We'll leave it up there. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't know about you, but I read it and like I just immediately go to conviction. And the conviction in my life is this. Chris, you're constantly looking at other things to make you happy. Situationally, materialistically, whatever it is you're looking for that security, you're looking for joy and all of these other things, and it's right in front of me. Because none of those things satisfy. They don't satisfy. Relationships, joy in a relationship, won't satisfy. Joy in owning your home, won't satisfy. Joy in your dream car will not satisfy, okay? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you see now why God would want to bring us back to Him and say, flee sin, flee it. It's killing things around you. It's killing parts of you. Let it go. Run away from it and come back to me, because in me is the fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. He like trumped everything right there. You see it? That's good news. Because it leads back to Him. And He loves us. And He wants us to come to Him and cast our cares and our anxiety and our worries. And He's saying, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it to me and let me take it on. And you stop trying to and find your joy in me. You see, this is the difference between having a relationship with Jesus, having a relationship with God, and just going in for the fire insurance, right? I don't want to live my life unhappy. I've spent enough days being unhappy here and there. I'm sick to death with that. I hate it. I want to live in the joy that comes from the Lord Himself. Don't have to go to it. We'll throw it on the screen. Nehemiah 8. I love Nehemiah, by the way. Can't get into it. We don't have time. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. It says, then he said to them, and he's trying to encourage the people there, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. Right there, some of you are like, I want to do that today, okay? You're that far in with it. You're like, I'm okay with this. For this day is holy to our Lord. And here he goes. This is where he's really consoling the people. He says this. I want you to hear this. It says, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't have time to go into everything that Nehemiah had been through and was going through at this point. But he is saying to those people, don't be grieved. Quit worrying. Doesn't have anything to do with what's going on right here and right now. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's how we will move forward. You feel like life has just beat the junk out of you? You feel like that you got nothing left and you're so confused about the days ahead that you're just absolutely like, oh my gosh, I can't, blah, 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 you know. I mean, is that where you are today? Because I'm just telling you that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Feel like you can't go on? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Scripture teaches us, God told us that the joy of the Lord, the joy that is in Him, is our strength. If we try to find joy in a job, forget it. It'll let you down. Try to find joy in a person, they're going to let you down. You know why? Because they're a sinner and they need Jesus like you and me. God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, live the life, die, defeat death, come back from the dead, tell everybody, hey, here's your mission, go do it. Also, He could bring us back to God. Why? Just because God wants a bunch of friends? No. Because God created us and He loves us and He understands that we need Him above all things. He understands it when we don't. He gets it when we're stupid and in sin and we love things and we are idolaters and we make idols out of everything in this world. And our response to these things are, I love this so much, I'm going to spend all of my time doing this and I'm going to build my own little kingdom. And Jesus comes to say, don't bother. Don't bother. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to find joy in that. Say, Chris, we're not supposed to enjoy things here. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God is calling us to enjoy Him. And if we're enjoying Him, if we're pursuing Him, and our response is worship to Him in this life, we won't have trouble trying to enjoy anything else. Here's what will happen. We will enjoy everything else. And it's why we have parents who have children with cancer who can sit in a waiting room watching their child get treatment and still speak of the great things that God is doing in their lives. Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And not any job, and not any circumstance, and not anything that they could buy. The sad part is for so many of us, we don't see it until like something like that comes in our life. God is saying, cling to me. And if you don't think that God is still shouting out and saying, hey, I'm over here. I'm over here. I got you. I want to love you. I want you to come over here. I want you to enjoy me. I got a picture for you. We're going to dim the lights this time when we show this picture. But I want to show this picture. And this was taken yesterday, okay, by a friend of mine on his phone. And he posted it to social media. And he lives out in West Tennessee. And he is the captain of a barge. He drives down rivers with barges. And he just posted this picture, and he loves, Jim loves Jesus. I got to tell you, this guy's name is Jim Turner. He was one of my youth workers at the church that I was a student pastor at before we started 24. And Jim loves Jesus, and his caption on this picture was something to the degree of, and I'll probably get it wrong, but it doesn't matter, same thing, was something to the degree of, His glory sings for all those who will listen. You go, big whoopity-doo, it's a sunset. Uh-huh. I can't do that. You go, Chris, well, you could paint a picture if you spent 1 million years learning to be a painter. Okay. So then I have a sunset on a canvas. That's God's creation. And it's calling out His name. It is reminding us of how great He is. It is proof to me that I should trust in Him, that I shouldn't worry or be anxious, but I throw those things at His feet because He's the creator of all things. And it sings His glory. And God made us
that we would be able to enjoy and find true joy in His glory. I can't make that. Crazy thing is 3 hours away, God's making that in the sky. And in 3 hours back here, He was making another sunset for us. Let that sink in for a minute. You see, we don't even understand sometimes. But to even think that for a moment that He made that, and we see that in a picture and we go, that's awesome, God made that. He's making it for everybody else all the way around the world. He's doing something different with the sky, and He's doing something different with the trees, and He's moving stars around when He feels like it. And we don't even know the end of all that. That's our Creator. He made us. He knows what's best for us. And He's saying, come on, trust in Me. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let Jesus bring you back to Me. And if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord, maybe you've been approaching your walk with the Lord for the fire insurance and the free, you know, non-guilt deal, or, you know, whatever. Let me just tell you, God loves you so much more than that. He does all those things, not just to be kind, but He does them because He loves us, and He wants them to lead us back to Him, because He knows, as our Creator, that best for us, the only true joy that we will ever find is in Him and our relationship with Him. Very challenging. Let's pray together.